Well, hello, friends. Mark DiMatteo coming at you all with a brand new audio going out to our Great Questions group. And I trust this finds each of you folks doing well. This is actually message number 27. The title is Gravity, What It Can and Cannot Do. Gravity, what it can and cannot do. And as always, for any of you that might be new to these messages and are not officially a part of our group, you're welcome to join us, find out a little more information on what we're doing, as well as access any of my previously recorded and broadcast messages, which are kind of in a chronology. You may visit my website, which is very simple. It's my first and last name, all run together, markdematteo.com, markdematteo.com. Okay, so having said that, let's get rolling here. And folks, I mentioned as we wrapped up our last message that the Big Bang model of the origin of the cosmos, which we were discussing briefly at the time then, cites the physical force of gravity as the power source for the assembly of atoms, okay, which has been the theme of our study over the last few messages. And since I knew, probably like you do, that gravitational power is certainly real, and that this was the one component which this model seemed to have going for it, I wanted to take a more in-depth look at gravity to determine if it could indeed play a role in the origin of atoms as this model asserted that it did. Furthermore, I also knew that gravity was also the mechanism by which a number of other structures in the cosmos were purportedly or supposedly developed by, so I figured whatever facts I uncovered would impact far more than just my study of atoms, which, as we will see, it certainly did. But continuing on here, what I found out was, once again, rather straightforward, not too complicated, and yet quite illuminating. Seems like most of the things I was studying in this journey were pretty illuminating. So to begin with, let us take a look at a couple of basic definitions of gravity. Okay, first one here. The natural force of attraction exerted by a celestial body, such as the Earth, upon objects at or near its surface. For instance, us, okay, us as people, tending to draw them toward the center of the body, okay? And we all understand this, right? It's sort of why we stick to the planet and don't float off into space, okay? We've actually touched on that in a couple of previous messages. Definition number two, and this is a little bit more complicated. It's got a little math in it, but I'll elaborate on that. So just follow me along here, or follow along with me here. The natural force of attraction between any two bodies of mass, which is directly proportional to the product of their masses and inversely proportional to the square of the distance between them. Okay, now again, a little more in depth, but again, fairly straightforward. So stay with me here, follow along, as I know you are. Okay, we're made of matter, and so is the Earth, and so the force of gravity pulls us towards each other. It's also one of the primary reasons that the moon stays in orbit around the Earth, and the Earth and the moon also stay in orbit around the sun, right? Pretty straightforward stuff, okay? The mathematical side, let's just really simplify all that and just say this. And again, we all know this intuitively. The larger the masses involved and the closer they are, the greater the pulling force between them because of gravity. Conversely, the smaller the masses involved and the greater the distance between them, the weaker the force will be, right? And we know this too for, if we were to get too far out into space away from the Earth, we would become, quote, weightless and float around like we see the astronauts often doing, okay? Always doing if they're out in space. What's interesting is even if we were floating around out in space, our actual mass, or the total amount of matter that we are composed of, obviously does not change. It's just that the further away we move from any other matter, the tug of gravity affects us less and less. And again, that's common sense stuff. Don't need to get into any complex math or anything like that. Bottom line is, the bigger the mass, the closer it is, the more it tugs, and the reverse of that, the less it tugs, okay? Now, let's get into the main theme of what we're going to talk about here. While the force of gravity is indeed real and significant, the salient or important question becomes, what exactly can and can't it do? Which is the theme of our title, okay? How strong a force is it? Could it truly be responsible for the formation and present maintenance, the continued operation of atoms? Well, based on my studies and the facts I found out, there appear to be two very important fundamental reasons why it most definitely could not. So let's talk about them quickly here. The first of these is the fact that the force of gravity is simply far, far too weak, everything else being equal, to account for the stupendous level of power operating in atoms. And as we've already discussed, folks, the binding power holding the atomic nucleus together is at the astounding level of 1 billion tons per cubic inch, which is just incredible. But we've already talked about that, okay? I think even the most even basic common sense would tell us that normal gravity does not produce a force that is even close to that magnitude. For if it did, folks, we would all be instantly crushed into the center of the Earth, and our very planet itself would implode, okay? And yet, this big ball of mass we live on only tugs on us to a modest degree, and we can still move around and function with relative ease, right? Okay, pretty straightforward there. And furthermore, if we reflect back for a moment on our ounce of water versus the aircraft carrier example, this inadequacy only becomes more apparent. For how could one rationally conclude that the force operating in the mass of only 1 ounce of water would be able to overcome the force produced by the entire mass of the Earth pulling down, which is what gravity does, on the mass of the huge fleet of aircraft carriers we talked about, if it was truly the same type of power? Folks, this just doesn't make any sense, okay? No, the reality is the known force of gravity simply cannot physically account for the extreme power operating in the atom. Physical science has been able to study these two forces, and as far as the atom is concerned, to a certain degree, okay, but has clearly determined that they are not the same. In fact, this is why science differentiates between the two and calls the one force gravity and the other nuclear, as they are of a completely different nature and order of magnitude. Simply put, nuclear power operates on a rate that far exceeds that of gravitational power. As a matter of fact, the entire atom does, folks. Therefore, it would seem quite illogical and inadequate to me, especially in light of the law of cause and effect, to conclude that a weaker force could somehow be capable of giving rise to a greater. But let's go on. Let me now share with you fundamental problem number two, for interestingly, it is even more significant, and it is this. Folks, scientific studies have revealed that it is indeed the very atoms themselves which are the actual source of gravity in the first place. For while there are certainly many things that are still not completely understood about gravity, one thing that is definitely known is that it emanates from matter. And the reason matter creates gravity is because it is composed of atoms. Folks, it's now quite certain that it is actually the vast power, this huge amount of power that which we've been talking about quite extensively now, continuously operating within the atom itself, that actually somehow creates the force of gravity. This means simply that if there were no atoms, there would be no gravity. And that, therefore, gravity is not the cause of atoms, but rather their effect. And furthermore, since atoms are indeed the cause of gravity, it's quite obvious that they must have preceded it. As such, if gravity is in reality the effect of atoms, it is invalid to assume gravity can somehow also be the cause of atoms. For if you will follow me here, it makes no rational sense to conclude that the effect of a cause can somehow also be the cause of that cause. Okay, right? If you're with me on that, okay? So here, once again, what science had actually revealed seemed far more reasonable to me, as it made much more sense to conclude that the far greater power both preceded and gave rise to the far lesser, which of course is in keeping with the law of causality, the law of cause and effect. So, as we conclude this message, let me quickly summarize what I learned in this portion of my studies. And again, I'm taking 10, 12, 13 minutes here to do an overview on really what was the number of hours. But I think you're getting the gist, you know, hours and hours. But anyway, you're getting the gist of this, okay? While gravity is obviously a real functioning force, empirical science has revealed that it is an inadequate cause for the creation and operation of atoms. Interestingly, however, it appears that the reverse is true, and that atoms are, in fact, the adequate cause required for the effect of gravity, as they both preceded it and function on a far greater order of power. Now, we are going to continue our examination of the three different types of models we introduced in the previous message and draw some further conclusions in light of what we've been learning. And since we are, I thought it might be an appropriate time to return to a topic that I only mentioned in passing in a prior message, and that is the first law of thermodynamics. For as you recall, we've been talking about the second law, but we're going to come back now and we're going to talk about the first law. For it became, folks, yet another fascinating and illuminating tool of study on my great questions quest. So we'll take a brief look at it in our next message. Okay? So in the meantime, y'all have an awesome day. Always a pleasure talking to you, and we'll look forward to next time. Okay? Take care. Bye-bye, folks.